So the readings, John chapter 10, starting at verse 22. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe me. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, 'I am God's son'? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, "Though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true." And in that place, many believed in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's a little low, I think it'll be okay. Yep, I can read it. So we're, as Rachel said, in John chapter 10 again, and this is, as you say, the third time. I thought you were going to read some bands here, actually, so it's the third time of asking. Third time in John 10. So let's just pause for a moment, have a moment of quiet, and ask the Lord to speak to us. So Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the Gospels, for the Gospel writers. Thank you that you inspired them as they wrote, Lord. And so we pray that as we read about this account of you interacting with the leaders in the temple, that you will speak to each one of us as we need to hear you speak, Lord. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to just try and make this a little higher. I think it's this one, isn't it? Whoop. Right. Sorry about that. Should have prepared myself earlier. Right. So I wonder, I want to show you that picture first. Okay. That's a picture that I think my brother or sister-in-law took of sheep on their farm a few years ago, and it must be quite a number of years ago, because we actually made them into little coasters to give away at a thing called Tasters that we used to do as a church. And that must be, how many years ago would that be, Dawn and Liz?
A long time ago.
But I love that picture. It's a beautiful picture, I think, of sheep following other sheep, but We're going to pretend or believe that there is a shepherd in front of them. Okay. So I wonder who has the most followers in the world. It probably depend on what measure you use. It also depend on what source you use to find out this information. These are two of the most followed people on Twitter. It bypasses me, Twitter. But anyway, we know who this gentleman is. Apparently, he's still one of the most, or the most followed person on the source I have, on Twitter, Barack Obama. And then there's this gentleman. So I'm going to ask if anyone knows who this is. Justin Bieber, yes. Now, I had an unfortunate incident which my family never let me forget when we were in some sort of waxworks thing or something, wasn't it? Or somewhere we were. And this gentleman had a waxwork thing and my family said, do you know who that is? And I took a guess, okay, it's a bit of a punt, got it very wrong. I said Taylor Swift. Now, apparently Taylor Swift, I now know, is actually a female singer. But at the time I was just, Anyway, so they're two of the most followed people on Twitter. In football terms, of course, you'd expect me to have a football analogy. These two are the two of the most followed teams in the world. You can see by the left-hand one, it's obviously Manchester United, because it says so. Who can tell me what the other one is? Dawn said, I forget what Dawn said. She said Chelsea, yeah, that's wrong. Any ideas, anyone? Real Madrid, yeah, that's Real Madrid. So two of the most followed teams. And soon it's going to be this one, okay? Don't laugh. This gentleman is a global phenomenon in the music world. Our very own sort of Suffolk boy, we're claiming him, Ed Sheeran. His music is downloaded millions and millions of times. You almost also might have religious leaders or politicians who also have millions of followers. The question perhaps for us this morning is, who do we follow? Who do we listen to? Now that might depend on who we think Jesus is. And that was the core of the conversation which he had with the Jews, who were probably the religious leaders at the temple. We see that taking place in the reading that we have. It's a couple of months after the last section that we thought about last week. Okay, so a couple of months have passed us in the winter. It's during something called the Feast of Dedication, which celebrated the restoration of the temple in Jerusalem. We're probably more familiar with it. It's sort of more familiar with the term Hanukkah or Festival of Lights, which takes place in December. And the religious leaders wanted a showdown with Jesus. So they said to him, you know, when are you going to really tell us plainly that you are the Christ, you are the Messiah? Jesus actually reminded them that he had already taught that he was the Messiah. One of the places that we read about that he did this was when he met with the woman at the well in Samaria. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. We also read about when a blind man had been healed and he'd then been thrown out of the temple. And Jesus heard that they'd thrown him out. And when he found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. So it already taught that he is the Christ, the Messiah. And he says, doesn't he, that, you know, if you won't believe what I'm saying, at least believe the works I do. And those works include all the miracles that he performed as signs pointing to his messiahship. In the end, towards the end of a book of John, this gospel, says this, that these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. Jesus emphasized the witness of both his words and his works. But the Jews he was talking with didn't understand because they were not his sheep. They were intent on stoning Jesus because they believed that he was blaspheming. And the penalty for that in their law was death. Jesus responds in what may seem a rather confusing way. When he talks, he uses Psalm 82. You can have a look at it when you get home. And that was a psalm really about judges who violate the law. And in the Old Testament, judges were often referred to as gods. That's why he uses the term gods. Gods, probably with a small g. And Jesus' argument that was, if a divine name had been applied by God to mere men, there could be neither blasphemy in folly in his application to the incarnate Son of God himself. So the question is, are we one of his sheep? Who do we say Jesus is? Now, we've got even more to go on than the religious leaders that he was speaking with in this passage had. They were with him in the flesh, and maybe they'd seen some of his miracles. Maybe they'd heard rumours about them. They'd certainly probably seen the man who had been healed, who'd been blind. But we've got even more to go on, as it said at the end of John, you know, all these things are written that you might believe. We have accounts, don't we, of even more of his miracles, the amazing things that Jesus did. We've got records of more of his teaching. We read about it in all four of the Gospels. We have accounts of his death and an explanation, both in the book of Acts and in the later letters that we read to the churches, an explanation of what that death meant. We have accounts of his resurrection. Accounts of his appearing again when he'd risen, appearing to many people, it says, after he had risen from the dead. We have accounts of his ascension. And yesterday at Messy Church, we learnt about ascension. We learnt that it's on Thursday week, the 26th of May this year. It's always on a Thursday because it's always 40 days after Easter Sunday. The picture we have in Revelation also shows us Jesus reigning in glory. So we've got quite a lot to go on when we're trying to answer that question, who is Jesus? And then, of course, we have the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and the accounts of the way that he worked through the early church and the early disciples and established Christ's church. We have the history of the church down through the ages. And today we have the witness not only of our brothers and sisters here in this fellowship, in our MIE church, around Ipswich, around the UK, but millions of Christians around the world witness to who Jesus is. But we still have that question, don't we? Who do we say Jesus is? I wonder whether we've asked the question which the disciples did in this account, which I'm going to read you from the book of Mark. It says this: that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Have we asked that question, who is this? Who is Jesus? And then I wonder whether we've come to the conclusion that Peter did. Again, from Mark's Gospel, we read this: Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Have we come to that conclusion that Peter did, that Jesus is the Messiah? One of the mysteries of the Christian faith, perhaps, is what part, if any, do we have in our conversion, in our salvation, in our coming to be Christians? And from a human standpoint, I guess it seems that we become Jesus' sheep by believing. That's how we become followers of Jesus. And yet, from a divine standpoint, we believe because we are his sheep. So I think it's one of those mysteries that are held in tension, in a sense. In Ephesians, Paul writes this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." So I think it's not about head knowledge, but it's about the working of the Holy Spirit within us. I think as well that we can tie ourselves up in knots trying to answer some questions about, you know, are we predestined, are we called first, do we make the decision? The important thing is, do you know Jesus? Are you one of his sheep? Are you with him? So what are some of the characteristics of Jesus' sheep? Jesus actually points the four of them in the middle of his interaction with the Jews. And it was great, Rachel, that it's your baptismal verse, isn't it? So he says this, he says to them, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Jesus' sheep listen. They are known by him. They follow and they are secure. So how do we listen to the Good Shepherd? No picture of an ear. One of the most important ways we listen to the Good Shepherd is through the word we have from God, through the Bible. And it's probably been said many times, and Tony, I believe, said last week as well, how important the Bible is to us as Christians. You know, it's not just for Sunday morning. And I often reflect on people who don't have access to the Bible, who are so desperate to have access to the Bible. And there's a reason for that. It's because it is life-giving. It's because God speaks to us through his word. And that's why there's organisations, you'd obviously expect me to do this, such as Open Doors, who seek to get scripture to people who can't have it, as well as supporting those who are persecuted for their faith. The Bible Society, also involved in getting scripture to people around the world. And we have our very own Tim and Maggie Gavitt, who work for the Wycliffe Bible Translators, who do great work in translating the Bible into languages that are accessible to people throughout the world. The Bible is so important to us. I can't emphasize this enough, and you probably think, oh, he always goes on about this, but please, 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 don't just pick up a Bible on a Sunday. Seek to read it and follow it. Use some Bible reading notes if that helps, to give God the opportunity to speak to you. And it's not just listening to the Bible and it's sort of going in one ear and out the other, or through your eyes and then you forget what you've read. James said this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." So use the Bible and allow God to speak to you through it. But you know, we also listen to our Good Shepherd through prayer. And prayer again can be a thing that we get ourselves in all sorts of feeling guilty about, or we're not doing it properly, or things like that. Prayer takes many, many different forms. Basically, it's communicating with God. So when we ask God for help, when we praise him, when we have our confession, that's all prayer. We also, good if we can give space, and it's important we give space for God to speak to us. For us to be quiet sometimes and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We can also listen to our shepherd through reading other things, through Christian books, through other Bible teaching that you can get online, or through going to a conference or something like that. We listen to God through our brothers and sisters. I don't know about you, but people will say things to me and I'll think I've listened, but then I'll go away and think about what they say, and actually God is speaking to me through them. And he speaks to us as well through the world around us, through creation, through the things that we see. Jesus longs to speak to us. And I believe he'll use any way that he can. Yes, it's important that we listen to our teachers, to preachers, to our church leaders. But we shouldn't be limited by that. God will speak to us through many, many different ways. And we can be confident that what we hear will be what we need to hear, because we are known. Last week we heard that the sheep know Jesus. And here he says that he knows his sheep. There's some verses in Isaiah which are particular favourites of Dawn's. They say this, "But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned." Jesus knows us and is with us in all our circumstances. Later in Isaiah it says, "See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." He knows us. There's a very well-known psalm as well, which says this, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And it goes on, a wonderful psalm which really emphasizes that our good shepherd knows us. And that, as I've said before, I'm sure, can be either very scary or very comforting. Perhaps a bit of both. But on the whole, it's very comforting because of who Jesus is. Because he is the good shepherd. A good shepherd who has the best interests of his sheep at heart. A good shepherd who, in spite of the fact that he does know us completely, loves us and gave his life for us. And so because he knows us so well, we can have confidence in following him. What does it mean to follow? Well, it means obedience. It means responding to his prompts through his word or through the other things we've mentioned, through the Holy Spirit. It means perhaps sacrifice and servanthood. It means love. And I guess it's summed up in a sense in what Jesus said was the greatest commandment Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. I guess that encapsulates what it is to follow Jesus. So we listen, we are known by our Good Shepherd, we follow our Good Shepherd. And as we follow, we can know complete security. He says, doesn't he, that we will never perish, that we will never be snatched away, that we have eternal life. We are secure in him. By definition, eternal life cannot be conditional and still be eternal. It's a gift, not something we earn or that we merit. Paul wrote in Romans that, and if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. You know, if we can't be saved by our good works, but only by grace, then we can't be lost by our bad works. We have security in our Good Shepherd. We won't be snatched away from him. Verse 39, in fact, in that reading that we had, could be seen to emphasize that point when it says that, you know, Jesus went away, you know, they couldn't hold him. He escaped their grasp, it says in my version. Jesus couldn't be snatched until his time has come. We can't be snatched from his grasp. Most importantly, though, Jesus gave us that promise, and that cannot be broken. Right at the end of that reading of chapter 10 of John, it says, then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. Listening and following and being known are all intertwined. It's not like a thing that goes in sequence. They're all intertwined together. The first base, though, of course, is to be one of the sheep. The glorious thing is that Jesus has a loving relationship with his sheep. He has a living relationship with his sheep. And he has a lasting relationship with his sheep.